This morning we're going to start off in Romans 12. Last week we began a series on the spiritual gifts, and we're going to be going through a test for that after we discuss the various gifts, which we will begin not this week, but next week. Today we're going to look at some general principles in these different passages that we touched on at the end last week. 1 Corinthians 12 is where we began. We see the gifts there. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Romans 12 is another passage. Ephesians 4 is a passage. And 1 Peter 4. So we're going to look at some general principles that we see in those passages of Scripture that deal with gifts. And we'll also look at, there's a lot of principles in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. We'll get to those, but we're going to look at these shorter passages right now. So Romans 12, we'll read this passage and then go to the Lord in prayer. Let's read verses 1 through 8. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let's go ahead and pray. And Brother Jed, would you open us in prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to hear a teaching about this Romans chapter 12 and spiritual gifts. We pray that everyone here that's saved could understand and discern what their spiritual gifts are, and then also for anyone that's not saved, that doesn't have a spiritual gift, we pray that they can learn about salvation and become saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, last week we looked at mostly 1 Corinthians 12, and we finished up last week looking at these, just mentioning these other passages of Scripture. Before we did that, we looked at the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Every believer has the fruit of the Spirit. All of them. That's the Holy Spirit's fruit in our life. But consider the gifts of the Spirit, they are different. There are different gifts, and they are manifest in different ways. And just in general principles concerning spiritual gifts here in this passage, look at verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So in relation to spiritual gifts, what principle can you see in that verse that would apply to spiritual gifts personally in your own life? What are some principles? Humility. Okay, that's a big one. Is humility. And why humility? What is it, if you need humility, what does that indicate? Here in verse number 3.
Somebody else, or you're gifted. You have a gift more than me.
Okay, so why would you think that you're better than someone else? Cam?
Okay.
God gave you the gift. So why might you think you're better?
Back then, the charismatic gifts, the tongues and the showy gifts were active. And those to whom those gifts were given to had to be careful not to think they were more important than those that were given unshowy gifts.
Right, okay. What about today? Brother Jordan.
I think it shows the equality of all of the gifts. No one gift is more important than
Amen.
Right. No gift is more
important. But it also indicates here, if there needs to be humility and a lack of pride, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, it shows that we know what our spiritual gift is. You know, if there's a tendency to be proud, we wouldn't be proud about something that we didn't know we had. Okay? So we can't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. Soberly means to think with a right mind. Okay, that's not in the sense of playing down what you have. Okay, using a non-spiritual gift illustration. If I had Aaron and his son come up here, how old's your son? Is he 3? 4 years old. If I had them both up here and Aaron just went crazy, I mean out of his mind crazy, throwing hymnals, tearing things up, and he had to be restrained, it'd be foolish for me to say, I can do that with one hand, tie behind my back. There's no problem. I can do that. I'd be thinking more highly than I ought to think. I'd probably say, you know what, Zach, Brandon, Jose, Brother Jed, let's get up here and restrain him so we don't hurt him, keep him going crazy. If Josiah went crazy, if I said, well, you know, I just don't know if I can do it, I don't know if I can handle that, that's not thinking soberly. I'm trying to play, you know, trying to be extra humble when it doesn't make any sense. I have the ability to restrain Josiah. I had that ability, no problem. So it's not thinking soberly to say, okay, we're going to need a lot of men up here to deal with this situation. Because I wouldn't be thinking soberly. People are thinking, well, why? You're not thinking straight. When it comes to gifts, when you know you have a spiritual gift, as Brother Jordan mentioned, it's not any better than another spiritual gift, but you need to understand that you have it. And there's nothing wrong with knowing that you have a particular spiritual gift and to be able to evaluate ourselves in terms of our gifts. We have the responsibility to evaluate ourselves and know what our spiritual gifts are. Otherwise, there'd be no need for this warning against pride. You know, we need to know what our spiritual gifts are. And we need to have that understanding. If we look at verse number 6, it says, heaven and gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So we need to recognize that our gifts are different from others. Even someone that has the same spiritual gift as you, let's say you've got the gift of serving, of ministering, someone else has the gift of serving and ministry, your gifts are going to manifest themselves differently. God's going to work in your life differently than he's going to work in someone else's life, exercising the exact same gift. The manifestations of that gift are going to be varied. And so we recognize our gifts. We need to recognize them. We need to understand them. But they're differing. They're different according to the grace that is given to us. So in proportion to the grace that God gives us, as God's working in our lives, he's going to give us these gifts, one gift, two gifts, three gifts, whatever he's given to you, they're going to be different. We need to recognize that, so there is no room for pride. And we exercise our gifts according in proportion to our faith. We need to understand what the gifts he's given to us, and then in faith act upon those. If you look at verse number 8, it says, "He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." We consider the motive for the use of our gifts and the attitude that we have. It comes out in that verse there, in verse number 8. Our motive, our attitude is just as important as having the gift and exercising it. What's our motive behind exercising that gift? What's the purpose behind it? And we need to have the right kind of attitude in doing that. And we need to use the opportunities that God has given to us to use our gifts in the context of the church. He's given it to us for that reason. And we're going to look at these different gifts more in depth that are mentioned here. But as you consider the gifts that are mentioned here in this chapter, starting verse number 6, it speaks about prophecy. Verse number 7, ministry and teaching. Verse number 8, exhortation, giving, ruling, mercy. If you're going to divide the gifts up into different categories, what types of categories do you see there in those gifts? Very simple categories, not trying to figure out anything difficult. Very simple categories. There's a difference between someone that's going to exercise the gift of teaching than one that's going to exercise the gift of mercy. What would be the main difference?
Right, so you're one-on-one.
Or with a small group, rather than being with a larger group and speaking. You can come in speaking gifts or serving gifts, where you're serving others, ministering to others. So we have those two different gifts there. How many here know that you have a speaking gift? One. I think more of you have it than that. How many of you here know that you have a serving gift? Six. So the rest of you have a gift as well. You have a speaking gift or a serving gift, and hopefully you'll know exactly what that is when we get through this short series. So just some very general principles in there, similar to the principles that we'll see if you look over to Ephesians 4. Turn over to Ephesians 4, look at verses 7 through 16. In verse number 7 says, "But unto every one of us is given grace." So again, this is God's enabling in our life. It's not our own enabling. It's not our own development. Now, you can develop gifts. Brother Pelicone has a speaking gift. Brother Pelicone, when you were first saved, was it fully developed?
Absolutely not.
And same with us. If you have the gift of mercy when you were first saved, it probably wasn't fully developed. You probably didn't even recognize that you had that. But as you, when you know you have a gift, then you can develop that. You can grow in that. So that's why it's important to understand what your gift is. So unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far up, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. They gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
that we henceforth be no more children, but tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So in verse number 7, again, we have to every believer there's been given grace. So that the gifts that were discussed earlier, or in verses 8 through 16, we have these particular gifts here mentioned. So every believer has been given grace so that these gifts will function to the glory of God. As we, if we don't function in an area of grace under God's enabling, if we use our gifts in the flesh, it will do more harm than good. It won't bring glory to God. Someone that has the gift of, has a speaking gift, whether it's teaching or preaching, they can use that in the flesh and bring great harm. Even someone that has the gift of mercy, exercising that in the flesh can bring great harm. Because there's times in someone's life where they need mercy, and someone that has the gift of mercy can give them mercy, but there's a point where the person doesn't need mercy anymore. They need a kick or a slap. Or someone that's just giving them mercy, 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 without being led by the Holy Spirit, can kind of cross over to an area where now they're really damaging the person, not helping them, more enabling them to continue on in their sin. So it's important that we're led by the Holy Spirit and they're done for the glory of God. So this grace is a capacity that we have to serve one another. We look there in Romans or in Ephesians 4 at the beginning of the chapter. Verse number 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So as we have this grace, exercise our gifts, it's going to help us be able to serve one another in love and humility, which then brings greater unity within the church body. So this grace is given in different measures to believers. We see that here, that principle as well mentioned here as it was also in the other chapter, in Romans 12, verse number 3. And so there's going to be an enormous variety, difference between the gifts as they're exercised. If we look at verse number 8 of Ephesians 4. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Where's that found at? Anyone know? Wherefore he saith, so it's said somewhere.
Oh, I just read it in the Old Testament.
Yeah, Psalm 68 and verse number 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Who's that talking about?
The Lord.
The Lord. Okay, when did Jesus ascend on high and lead captivity captive? When did that happen? Okay, after the resurrection, a portion of that at least, his ascension. He says, thou hast, in Psalm 68, verse 18, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. It's a very interesting passage of Scripture that Paul quotes here. But Jesus gave gifts to men they were all members of the church, that first church there in Jerusalem. They had these gifts, and he's distributed those, and you have a gift this morning. If you're saved, you have a spiritual gift. So Jesus gave these in this particular context here in Ephesians 4. We have these gifted men to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, if you look at Ephesians 2 and verse number 20, we'll start with verse number 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Paul here is writing to the church there at Ephesus. He says, you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So what is that referring to specifically? What's the foundation for our faith as a New Testament church? What's the foundation for our faith? Word of God, and specifically, what part of the Word of God? As a New Testament church. As a New Testament church. New Testament, there we go. Okay. As a New Testament church. Now, the New Testament. Now, we don't go back to Leviticus and look at the priestly garbs and all the ceremony there. So, okay, now we need to figure out how this applies to us today. We should get some robes. Maybe I should get a long, one of those tall hats that the Catholic bishops wear. Get some robes on. Get a breastplate. Maybe we should figure some things out like that. No, we don't go back there. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So what, consider the New Testament. What books of the New Testament were written by apostles? Which books of the New Testament were written by apostles? Matthew? John? 1st and 2nd Peter? 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? Revelation? Epistle to Paul? Okay. Which ones were written by prophets? Okay. Mark? Luke? James, Jude, okay, the general epistles, those are called prophets. Barnabas is called a prophet in the book of Acts. So you have those that God gave, or we have the Word of God written, the New Testament written, that's the foundation for our faith. We have that, and we have pastors, teachers, and evangelists that continue on with that ministry of developing, establishing members within the church body. They're very important. We understand those principles. And he's given those evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to make complete what Jesus has started. Look over to Hebrews Hebrews 13. And starting in verse number 20. Hebrews 13, verse number 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. How does God make you perfect in every good work? It's through, one of the means is through the gifts that he's given to the church, through the pastors and teachers that we hear in Ephesians 4, but also through the gifts given to every member. Because as we continue on, looking at these passages of Scripture here in Ephesians 4, specifically, in verse number 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. It's not just one or two people, but every joint, every member. The gift that you have is only a portion of what's here within the church body, but it's for the purpose of edifying the whole body. Every joint is to be supplying something. Every joint has a gift to give. Every member has a gift to give. And it says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So as we understand these gifts and you understand what your gift is, the body will benefit. Not just you. You'll benefit greatly, but the whole body will benefit. The whole body will get to the point where we are mature in Christ, and we are as what as God wants us to be. So if we're following truth and we're communicating it with love, we're going to see this growth. It'll keep us from error. It describes about the deceivableness of error. We're going to see spiritual growth, and the church will become what God wants it to be. It'll become a mature body of Christ. Look at verse number 16. Again, from whence the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So again, that's God's grace working in us. It's according to that. So he's dealt with every member differently, some more, some less. But as everyone is just doing what God wants them to do, not looking at the person next to them, maybe God's given the person next to you far more grace to exercise their gift, and maybe far more gifts. He's not wanting you to look over at them and say, well, I can't do what they're doing. They're doing these things, and they're so much better at that. I'm just not going to do anything. No, it's according to how God's dealt with you. And as you do what God's dealt with you, and you supply for that need, you're going to see the body and every individual member being helped as every member exercises their gifts. So just very basic principles there as it relates really not just to these gifts here in Ephesians 4, but to all of the gifts. If you look over to 1 Peter 4, here in 1 Peter 4, there are no specific gifts mentioned here. But we have the basic categories of speaking and serving. So 1 Peter 4 and verse number 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch under prayer. So the time is the end is near. So we ought to invest our energy. We ought to be focusing upon eternal things, not temporal things. Focusing our life on those things. Verse number 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So really good principles here in this passage of Scripture relating to the exercise of spiritual gifts. And verse number 8, what is the motivation behind the ministry of your gifts? Love. Okay? We ought to be motivated by love. And if you're motivated by love and you're exercising your gifts in love, how is that, according to that verse, how will that be manifested? Look at the last part of that verse. Right. We're all sinful people. And there's things that we do, how we react to things, how we respond to things that are annoying. You could say something and say it not being unkind, and I take it wrong, I hear it wrong, or something else completely is going on in my life that you know nothing about, and I'm just have a short fuse, and I respond just curtly and maybe not trying to be rude, but it came across completely rude. And what do? Well, you go and tell other people how rude I am. You get offended. You don't listen the rest of the day. Or charity covereth a multitude of sins. As we're exercising our gifts, we have that charity. We'll take, okay, well, that's not normal. Something's going on. I need to pray for Pastor. I need to pray for Sister So-and-so. She just seems off today. I don't know what's going on. She was really rude. It seemed I overheard her talking to someone else, and she was really rude, or he was really rude, and I need to pray for them. Something's going on. And love will cover that. And we have that an acceptance of one another. And though we have those faults, simple things that we do, we can overcome that. We don't have a critical spirit towards them because our motive is love. We want to serve one another with love, and so there's not going to be just a critical spirit, a rejecting spirit. We're just going to cut people off. They said something, they did something, and we don't take it personally. Now there are times that it is personal, where someone has sinned against you and made it very clear that they're talking to you and they're purposely being rude, they're purposely being unkind, they're doing those things. Well, that's a Matthew 18 matter. That's a Matthew, is it 7, 6, 5, somewhere around there. You know, someone has, in one passage, if someone has ought against you, you go and deal with it. If you, in the other passage, if you have ought against someone else, you go deal with it. And so there's times that we have to deal face to face with believers about their sin, but there's other times when there's things going on we don't know about and we can't take offense. We need to have a love there that will cover a multitude of sins as we struggle to work through that. That doesn't mean brushing things under the rug. You know, we find out that someone is involved in some grievous sin, and I guess I won't, you know, some running out of the bank with his mask on, which is unusual. But he was carrying a bag of money, and the alarms were going off. Boy, I love that brother. He made a big mistake, but, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Because that's not what we're talking about. There's things that can't be just brushed under the rug, but there are times that we say things and do things that are just foolish on our part. We're not thinking, and there's times that we just need to, when we see that in others, that we just overlook that. We don't take offense at that. So as we're using our gifts, this love is the motivating factor behind that. And in verse number 9, we see that it manifests itself by meeting the needs of others. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So we're meeting the needs that others have, not with a grudging spirit, saying, he's said this, he's done that, she's done this, and I don't feel like having them over, I don't feel like doing this for them. There's none of that. We want to meet their needs, and we want to help them. And so as we receive the gift, in verse number 10, it says, as every man hath received the gift. So how did you receive the gift again? Romans talked about it, Ephesians talked about it. How did you receive the gift? What's that? By faith or at salvation? Another word I'm looking for. God's enabling in your life. Okay, God's grace. Okay, so you've received it as a gift of grace. So as everyone hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So you didn't deserve anything. You didn't deserve God giving you that gift. So when you exercise that gift, we don't exercise it to those that we think are deserving. We don't exercise it to those that we think are can give us something in return. And we exercise it one to another as a church body. Aren't you glad that, you know, your body decides, you know, I don't like, the hand is really offensive to them. I'm not going to send any blood to the hand today. Oh, your hand's going to get the blood, whether or not the body wants to send it blood. Okay? It's going to get it anyways. And it's going to be supplied with what it needs. And every member, as we labor for the Lord, as we minister the gifts, every member has the right to receive what God's given to you. Because God's given it to you to minister to the church body. He hasn't given it to you to have it for yourself or just to give it to certain people. So as you received it, then even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As the manifold grace of God. So we're stewards in that. We're administrators of the grace that God's given to us, and we are to give that out to others. In verse number 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So again, God's grace working in our life. And the purpose of that, as we're enabled by the Holy Spirit and we serve, as we're led by the Holy Spirit, it's that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's not about others. It's about Jesus Christ. He's to be glorified through us. And when you see gifts exercised in that manner where people are exercising their gifts, being led by the Holy Spirit, it brings glory to God. We don't sit and say, wow, that person, they're so wonderful. When it's done the right way, even if you're on the receiving end, you give glory to God because you know that God's using them. But there are times that it just seems like, wow, that person is so wonderful. Maybe that's because maybe they're exercising in the wrong way. And that's how we see. We don't see God's hand in anything. We just see their hand in everything. And we can say, well, yeah, they're kind, they're gracious, they're giving of themselves, but if it's all done in the flesh, God's not going to receive the glory for that. So we exercise gifts in these matters, and we don't get the flesh involved. We allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. In the last few minutes, if you turn back to 1 Corinthians 12, just very quickly, we looked at some of these principles last week as we introduced the passage, and we'll just finish up with a few this morning in the last few moments. So 1 Corinthians 12, next week we'll start looking specifically at the gifts, at the speaking gifts and the serving gifts, and then we'll be taking a test, not next week, but here soon in the future. If you look at verse number 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know what the spiritual gifts are, but also he wants us to know what our spiritual gift is or what they are, if we have more than one. So if we're ignorant of this, it can produce harm within the church body. So it's important we understand what our gifts are. And verse number 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So again, Spirit produces diversity, not similarity. We're not all copycats of one another. I hate listening to preaching. You get to certain areas of the country or certain countries and you hear preaching, and they're all copying someone. Don't know who started it. Who started, you know, they had a bad cold one week and they started preaching and they just couldn't have the wind that they needed. So after every sentence, they were sucking the wind in because they were preaching and they were sick. And then pretty soon everyone thought, well, boy, that was a good preacher. I guess I need to start sucking wind in like that. And after every other sentence, they're sucking wind in. And it doesn't matter who they are. Almost every single preacher in Jamaica, man or woman, they've got all kinds of doctrinal error down there. You listen to the women preaching down there. They're the same way. Well, every other sentence, they're sucking wind in. And they're trying to sound like someone. And it's absolutely ridiculous. God does not produce robots. We can't try to copy what others are doing, how they exercise their gifts. We just need God gifted you, and he wants you to exercise your gifts in a particular, in however you are. You're unique, just like everyone else. Okay? You're unique. So use your gifts as God's given them to you. Don't try to copy what others have done. In verse number 6, there are diversities of operations. Okay, so the effects of that gift, how the results of that, how God works through that gift, it will be different. When you exercise your gifts, the results of that will be different from someone else that has the same gift and are exercising in the Holy Spirit's power and through His leadership. The results of that are going to be different as God works and as God provides that. And the purpose is for the benefit of everyone. In verse number 7, manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, to profit the group. And we can't, it's not just for a portion. It's not just for a certain Sunday school class. That they're going to get the benefit of my gift, but no one else is. No, it's for the whole church body. We are to be doing these things and growing and exercising them. So this morning, just general principles concerning spiritual gifts. There's a lot more in these chapters 12, 13, and 14 that we'll look at as we specifically look at the gifts. We'll look at some more of these principles as in relation to those. But any comments or questions this morning on what we looked at? All right, well, let's stand together. We'll dismiss in prayer.